Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Brandon. I'm the Next Gen pastor here at Bethel, which just means I take care of anybody under the age of 21. And I get to share with you this morning. Like Brielle said, I get the honor of speaking about intercession and praying for others. And I just want to open quickly with another. I think we need it. So Lord, I pray right now that you would just speak so clearly. God, that you would be using me as a vessel for the words that you want to speak to the members here in person and those online who watch this later. God, we just pray that you would soften hearts and that you would open ears and that the words that you speak will land well. In your holy name, amen. So I think that the first thing that we need to do is ask the question, what is intercession? And like Brielle said, pretty much what intercession is the action of intervening on another person's behalf. The original Greek word actually means to make a petition for another person. So it's standing in the gap. It's making a case on another person's behalf. And intercession often requires us to shift our gaze from our own desires and our own wants onto the needs of other people. Intercession is a humbling thing that takes our focus off of ourselves and onto the people around us. And it's a way that we can express love for other people through prayer. And the passage that we're going to be reading from today is James 5. 13 through 15. So if you want to go there on your in your Bibles, either on your phone or if you have a analog version, or it'll be, it's on the screen right there. So it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." And then the second half of that verse is, "And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So it's clear what James's encouragement is for us, that in every season we need to pray. It's pretty straightforward that that's what James is trying to encourage us to do. When people are cheerful, we need to sing praises to the Lord. When we're having a really bad day, we should spend time in prayer, spend time seeking the Holy Spirit, His comfort, His peace. When we're sick, we need to pray for healing because God is a God of healing. So what is a prayer of faith? Like James says, that the elders will pray a prayer of faith and that will bring healing. So what makes something a prayer of faith? You gotta realize that every prayer is a prayer of faith. Prayer is rooted in faith because if we don't have faith that there is a God who is listening to us, then prayer, it's superfluous. It doesn't have any meaning. I think I used that word right. But it doesn't have any purpose if we don't actually believe in the God that we're praying to. And what is actually meant by the prayer of faith isn't just that you would believe in the God that you're praying to, but it's actually a deliberate, pointed prayer. That you would hit the issue right on the head. You can't be skirting around it and making it a side topic. A prayer of faith is saying, God, this is a big deal. And we know that you can handle it. And it's putting your trust in God in that moment when things seem like when you're up against a wall and it's the only thing you can do to pray and it's really tough and you're like, God, I don't know. But I'm going to ask anyway and I'm going to ask for something big. That is a prayer of faith. The anointing that is mentioned here too when it says that you would bring the elders and they would anoint with oil. Oil is something that has a lot of history in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it was used by prophets to anoint kings. It's a symbol for the presence of God being poured over those people. So when David was anointed as king, Samuel took oil and poured it all over his head and it dripped down his body, and that's the presence of God resting upon David. God went with David from that point. Same thing happened with Saul. Same thing happened with all of the other kings of Israel, that they would be anointed with oil so that people would know that the presence of God was with them. Ow, I bit my tongue. And then, so when we are praying for people and we're anointing them with oil, we're saying, may the presence of the Lord be with you. And we're placing that on them and trusting that the presence is marked by the oil. Oil is also used in the Bible. Another word for it is salve. And it's like a medicine. So in the story of the Good Samaritan, when he finds the man beaten up on the side of the road and he puts him onto his donkey and he mends his wounds, he uses salve. And he applies it to the wounds and dresses them and cleans them and cares for him. So oil is also a medicine used in the Bible in history. Had good healing properties. So it's not just that we say like, oh, the Lord be with you, presence, there it is. But it's also like, it's a medication. It's something that God has given us so that we can work toward healing. So not only is the presence of God with them, but also they have the medicine that God has given us in order to work in conjunction with one another. And then the following verse, the end of verse 15, where it talks about how he will be healed of his sins and he will stand up and go. It's clear that the spiritual realm has an effect on the physical realm. That when we pray bold prayers, they can loose things in heaven that will have physical reality changes. That when things are happening in our life that are a bit out of skew, that they actually affect our physical bodies. That's why mental health is such a big thing right now, with COVID and everything going on, and with the isolation that we're experiencing. Mental health, did you know that in the U.S. in 2021, for people aged, I think, I want to get this right, 8 to 17, I think it was, might have been 10 to 17, but the second leading cause of death in the U.S. was suicide. Because what is going on, not only in our physical bodies, but in our spiritual lives and in our mental and emotional lives, affects our physical bodies. It causes us to experience physical pain, and it causes us to experience things that, like, I didn't get cut, but I'm hurting. So we see it's clear that there is a correlation between the spiritual, emotional, and physical world. They all come together to make one whole body, one whole person. So when we pray for one another in faith and there is healing, does that mean that we're changing the heart of God? Andy, our sound guy, asked me and Brielle this question a little while ago. He said, can you, when you're praying, change God's heart? Can you change his mind on certain topics if you pray hard enough, if you pray long enough? And it's actually the opposite. We can't change God's heart because God, knowing all things, doesn't react. God doesn't respond to the things that... He does respond. He doesn't react to the things that we do out of like, oh man, I didn't see that one coming. Like, what do I do now? God knows everything. He has every single day numbered. He has everything planned out to the T. All the way up until Jesus comes back and then eternity. And he has that figured out too. But what happens when there's sickness and then there's healing? Did we just, like, convince God? Do we strong-arm him? Like, God, you better heal this guy. No, that's just a part of God's plan. But the opposite thing actually happens. God uses our praying, our brokenness, our need to actually change our heart, to change our mind, to change the way that we see things and change our perspective to a more godly perspective. Like I said at the beginning, when we intercede on each other's behalf, we take the focus off of ourselves and move it outward. The Christian life is not an inward-focused life, it's an outward-focused life. And it like, this morning's really difficult because as I was writing this, I felt like this was what God wanted to say, and then I got the news about Alan and his family this morning. And I was reading through my notes, and I just felt like, God, what happens when you don't answer that prayer, though? Is this just for maturing? Like, how is this going to bring you glory? How is this going to further your kingdom and further my understanding of who you are? How is this going to help at all? And I know Alan's son because he was in my cabin at our camp this summer. And I think to myself, Lord, how is this going to help Zach? And I don't know. And that's the only answer I have is I don't know. Because how am I supposed to know the mind of God? Like, I can't even figure out how to talk without biting my tongue. How am I supposed to understand what God has going on? What is he cooking up? I don't know. And it's just, I did it again. And it's just so mind-boggling to me that, like, somehow God is going to use this for his glory. And somehow he is going to further his kingdom through this, whether it's through a testimony, whether it's through the family, like, digging deeper into their faith, I don't know. But I know that God has a plan. And I know that I can bet, like, my next 10 years on God's plan. I'd be willing to do it right now. But I don't know what it is. It's a blind bet. And that's what faith is. So when we're talking about interceding for other people, we need to talk about being a prayerful people, because that's what it is. Interceding is praying for one another. It's joining each other in prayer in those hard moments. And as Christians, we need to be a prayerful people. Some of you know that my brother is the youth pastor in Duncan. He's a super cool guy. And he was telling me the other day about this guy in his church. And the only way I can describe him to you is he's a prayerful man. Because the story that my brother shared with me was that this guy, mid-conversation, no matter who he's talking to, if it's joyful or if it's sorrowful, he will, in the middle of the conversation, turn his attention to God and just start praying. And he will, like, you could be talking about anything, and he'd just be like, man, thank you so much, God, that you have been doing this in this person's life, and thank you that you were working and that you were making a way. How would our church look different? How would our world look different if our first intuition was to pray? If the first thing that we thought, man, we should really just come before God right now. We should really just bring this before the Father. How would that change our world? If when you were in your workplace, and I know that it's pretty regulated now, which sucks. And it's super sad. But if you were in your workplace, or you were in school, or you were in the grocery store, and somebody was just telling you about their week, and instead of saying, man, that sucks, I really hope that you can get through that, praying for you, finger guns. Or like on your Facebook thing where you're like, praying for you, sending good vibes. Instead of that, like, what would happen if in the middle of the workplace or the school or the store, where you phoned that person and you said, hey, can I pray with you? Like, I know that you're going through a really difficult time right now, but can we bring this before the Lord? And most times, unless somebody has been really hurt by people in the church, or they're just like super against it, the world is seeking for something. And most times they will say, yeah, okay. They might ask you, like, what do? Do I close my eyes? Do I hold up my hands? What do I do? And you just say, you just stand there. I'm just gonna pray for you. And most people are open to it. The question is, do we have the guts? That's the question. So when we become a prayerful people, and our attention is no longer focused on me or my issues or what I'm dealing with or what's going on in my heart, our attention now becomes focused on how can God intervene in this moment? How can God use this to bring himself glory? How can God use this opportunity that I've been given, this chance that I have to pray with this person, how can God use this to further his kingdom or to radically transform this person's life? It's a humbling thing to intercede on other people's behalf. And I really like C.S. Lewis's description or his definition of humility, and it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is being outward focused, not me, my, mo. I don't even know what I was trying to say there. Me, my, mo. Who's Mo? It's not thinking about me. It's thinking about everybody else. It's thinking about the hurts and the pains of the people who are sitting next to you at the coffee shop or that we are chatting with after church in the lobby or that God just dropped on our heart while we were scrolling through our social media. And with being a prayerful people, that would mean that we'd start taking our friends and our issues before God, right? If our first instinct was to pray, to bring that before the Father, we'd be bringing our issues and our friends there way more often. And when that happens, the world starts to get transformed. I was reading this book that Pastor Joe lent me, and it was talking about, I forget his name. It was a super cool name, but there was a, I think he was a duke in Germany in like the early 1700s, and he had this huge plot of land, and he allowed these people to come live on his land, and they named a city. He had a city on his piece of property called Huttington, because it was people who were displaced by either war or famine or whatever it was. They were immigrants into Germany, and he was like, you can come live on my land. You can build yourself a city. Go for it. And that city and that people group radically transformed our understanding of missions to what it is today, of going out and praying for people and interceding on missionaries' behalf. And they were the first people to start a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer chain. It's so cool. They had a person every day of the week. This is your hour block, and you will come to the church, and you will pray for an hour, 7 days a week. And they did that for 36 years. What would happen? What would happen if we did that for a week? Like, honestly, think about it. What would happen if you took an hour every single day for the next 7 days and you came and that room is open during office hours all the time? If you picked 1 hour every single day during office hours and you just came and prayed for our city and you prayed for your friends and you prayed for your workplace and you prayed for your family and you prayed for your family's friends, what would God do with that? I have no clue, but I think it would be awesome. Like, that's just all I'm saying. So there are multiple ways that we can take our friends and our issues and our families to pray before God. Intercession does not have to be done in a specific way. There's no like, okay, first you talk about this, then you talk about this, and then you go like this, and then you get on your knees, and then you bow down. It's not like that. Intercession can be done while you're driving to work. Intercession can be done any day of the week, and Jesus is the best example of this. As Tim read in Romans 8, talks about Jesus interceding on behalf. And then again in Hebrews 7:25, the author says that Jesus is always, uses the word always, interceding on our behalf before the Father. Jesus doesn't take a break. I guess that he was the first 24/7 prayer line. But I guess he has to be. But here's the question. If Jesus is doing this, and he's making a point to do it all the time, then as believers, shouldn't we take that as a hint? To be constantly praying? The Bible even says constantly be in prayer. But shouldn't we take that as a hint to be praying for our friends and our families and our neighbors? Shouldn't we be interceding on their behalf? Because what we experienced, the freedom we've experienced through Jesus, why don't they get to deserve that? Why shouldn't they have that? And why shouldn't you petition on their behalf for them to receive that? Jesus stands in the gap for us, in like between us and the Father. He makes a way. So why can't we stand in the gap between Jesus and our friends? Why can't we follow suit and pray for our friends and say, Jesus, please help them. Jesus, please transform their lives. Jesus, please help them have holy discontent with the way that they're living right now so they can experience your freedom. Just a thought. But enough of that. Enough thoughts. Just kidding. Here's some more thoughts. This is actually just some really practical ways that you can begin to intercede. So if you want, if you're taking notes, write these down because they're good. So first, we have regular prayer gatherings here at the church. On Friday nights, we meet in that room during youth. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's very free form. You show up, you can have some tea and some coffee if you want. It's super chill. And when we're doing that, the focus is on Next Gen. So the students in our youth ministry who are downstairs, the students who are in Ladysmith who don't know Jesus, the kids who are in our kids programs, the kids who don't know Jesus, their families. But like I said, it's free form. There's nothing that you need to pray for. You can pray for whatever you want. If you just need a break, you can go in there and nobody has to talk to you. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just show up for 15 minutes and spend time in a place where the focus is on Jesus and you can just be refreshed. If you had a really long week and you're like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to go home tonight and love my kids, or I don't know how I'm going to go home tonight and treat my wife with respect, you can go there. Nobody will talk to you, and you can just center yourself, and you can breathe, and you can just say, Jesus, I have no clue what I'm doing. I need your help. Why not, right? It's open. It's available. So I'm going to encourage every single one of you, show up. I know for a fact I didn't see you all on Friday night. Thank you. Thank you. Jim was there. He can attest to not seeing all of you. Also, Sunday mornings, we have pre-service prayer every single Sunday at 10 o'clock. It is open for everybody. You don't have to be volunteering here. We'd love if you did. But you don't have to be volunteering here in order to join us. And the Holy Spirit moves. You can take that to the bank. Tim literally got a word from the Holy Spirit this morning. He moves before church too, you know? So come to the prayer meetings that we have set up. We do it for the church. We create space so you can have an opportunity to focus on this specific issue, this specific need, and to intercede. It's worth your time. I really enjoy it. And it's only like 15 minutes long on Sundays. It's fine. You can ask your friends how you can pray for them. That's really good. While you're out for coffee, while you're hanging out and driving, while you're golfing. I don't golf, but if you golf, you can ask your friends while you're golfing. You can also just randomly call your friends up. That's pretty cool. I think we need to normalize that. I know that that was a thing before cell phones, and now everybody's like, just text me. Like, no, I don't want to text you. This is important. We should normalize that. If you feel like you want to pray for somebody, you should just phone them. If they're busy, they'll call you back. If they're not, the Lord will make their day brighter. That's all I'm saying. Just phone them up, ask them if you can pray for anything. And you know what? When you're talking with somebody and you're like, I'll be praying for you, do it right there. Like, what's the harm in praying for them in that moment? What, there's going to be too much Holy Spirit? Like, are you afraid that God's going to heal them right there? And you're like, whoa, what do I do now? Tell people about it. Like, geez. Jesus said that his disciples will be known by the way they love each other. And I think that there's no better way to love your fellow Christian, your neighbor, your coworker, than to pray for them and to carry one another's burdens. That is, like, that shows you're in it. That shows that you care. That you're willing to say, hey, I have hope. Can I share it with you? And while we're sharing hope, can I take your burdens? Also, and I'm going to invite Braille back up. You can begin a prayer list. And you can check it regularly. Throw it on your fridge. Or if there's something that you grab in your fridge all the time, write it on the thing you grab all the time. Like, if you're always reaching for, like, the ranch, start writing it on the ranch. Just, like, pick up the ranch, you're like, oh yeah, I should be praying for this person. Or you can write sticky notes and put them on your bathroom mirror. Or you can get dry erase markers and just write on your bathroom mirror. There are so many ways that you can be reminded. And honestly, I forget all the time, so I should probably start doing this too. But visual cues are such a good reminder to pray for people. And then finally, ask God to place people on your heart. Different circumstances, different things that are going on. Honestly, you might just be surprised that he wants to talk to you. You might be surprised that he's going to give you a name. And that might be scary. And that's when we got to ask, do we have the guts? Do we have the chutzpah? Which is like, right down here, is like, do you got it? So right now, actually, I'm going to ask, do you have the guts? And we're going to spend a little bit of time in quiet. Braille's just going to play some pads. And I'm just going to encourage you. Ask God to put a name on your heart. Ask God if he would like you to pray for somebody in this room. And then, lo and behold, if he does, which I will put money on the fact that he does. I'm not going to tell you how much money because I'm broke. But I will put money on it. You know what? Maybe I'll buy you an ice cap. But I'm willing to say that God will speak to you if you ask and if you listen. And if he's already spoken to you and if he's put a name on your heart or if he's put a face on your heart, go to that person right now. Or if you know that somebody's struggling with something, go to that person right now. Because maybe God was giving you information for this moment. God's got a funny way of making things work out, but he makes them work out. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to spend some time and we're just going to listen. We're going to ask. We're just going to be still. And if God puts somebody on your heart, go to them. Worst thing they can say is, I think you're off. Best thing that'll happen is God will radically transform their lives.